Father, we glorify thy name, Lord. Thank you for the time of rejoicing before you, Lord. And glorify thy name. Thank you for your almighty Lord, our God, in the midst of us, it is mighty. So we thank you for your glory, all of us this morning, and always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the testimonies we have had, Lord. Truly, you are always with your children. Stand with you, always, even to the end of the age itself. So we thank you, Father, as we read your word this morning, Lord. We trust that God will bless us. Father, we worship you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to read a few scriptures here from the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. I'll read a couple of verses here. St. John, 8th chapter. It said verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and art thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through the midst of them and so passed by. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I might just take a text from the 58th verse, where it says, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, he just showed them a small part of himself and they couldn't receive it. And the Bible even tells us that, hey, what if he told them all about himself, you know? The Bible tells us that, he is before all things, amen? Not only Abraham, that is in Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and by him, all things consist. See? So, he just told them a small part of him, and they couldn't even receive it. The Bible says, he is before all things, by him, all things consist. Now, talking about that Abraham, I want to talk a little bit about him now. He says, Abraham has seen it. They are rejoicing in it. In Genesis chapter 14, I will read two passages of scripture in the Old Testament and then the New Testament, you know. So God knows what he's doing. And Genesis 14, the 14th verse through probably 20. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them until Dan. This is the same Abraham who, about 2 chapters ago, was like a poor man, if you want to call him, because of the famine, he had to go to Egypt, you know. Now, all of his study, of course, in Genesis 12, but he was rich in gold and cattle, and sheep and silver. He has 318 servants. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is the person that left everything he ever worked for. You know? And all of the Chaldeans, whatever he was at that time, left everything. He obeyed the voice of God. And initially, that's how things really was. Sometimes it's always against God's people. When he got to the land of promise, things are just as if contrary to what God said. God says it be a land that was to be filled with milk and honey, but when he got there, a great famine was on. Anyways, and all of a sudden God blessed him, so much he blessed him, he had 318 servants, you know, that was in his house, the Bible says. And he divided them, divided himself against them, and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, on the left hand of Damascus. So that's in Syria over there, you know. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So we see in Abraham what is a wonderful character about him and so on. The Bible called him, he brought his brother back. So what? Whatever is brother, right? We are to always be our brother's keeper, you know? Praise the Lord. Even in Christendom, yeah, we are brother's keeper. So he was watching over his brother, he left everything, he put his own life at risk, you know. Yeah, Bible says we ought to also lay down our life for the brethren, amen. How the Bible tells us, you know, the God's purposes and God's way of doing things are always the same. Nothing changed his ways of doing things. So we saw that right there. So he went after his brother to go and deliver him. And God has blessed him really, you know, 318 servants, you know, and him and so on. Anyway. And even the deliverance is a great miracle. How many armies did he go after, you know? All those kings and so on. And he went after them, and God gave him a great, great deliverance. Anyway, keep on going here. And the king of Sodom, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chidorama and of the kings that were with him. Can you imagine Abraham with all the Sarah, the king of the servant, went against all those ones and defeated them? See the power of God. See? And the valley of Sheba, Charlie, which is the king today. And right, I'm going to read all those things just to go to verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and it was the priest of the Most High God. We are talking about before Abraham was a young. They didn't believe him. You know, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, to New Testament version of the same, of the same testimony of Abraham, and the visitation, of this mighty, mighty personage that I want to talk about in Hebrews 7, verse 1. You know it? That the matter of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. So Hebrews 7, 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoil. So who is this great man? What do you call him a man? Who is this great man? Who was this Melchizedek? Who is he? You know what he? Well, some said, even some great men of God, without the revelation, they said he was set, others think he was another man, you know. So we see all these things going around the world, but we found the Lord Jesus, who has opened our eyes to many, many things in his word at the end of the age. They gave many, many reasons why he should be set, you know, or some other person is in there, you know, but we know. We will look through the scriptures, and let the scripture tell us who this great man, if you call him a man, who he is, and some of that, you know. So go through the scripture to see this morning. But is the scripture silent about this great man identity? No, it's not silent. The scripture says he was one of many, many things. He was the king of righteousness, right? So of no man does the scripture speak of righteousness more than our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the king of righteousness. And I will go through many, many scriptures to show that I don't see anywhere or any person that the Bible talks about concerning righteousness but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So in Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruit of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Somebody was saying this morning, he said that Jesus is my righteousness, right? Yes, he's the king of righteousness, our righteousness. So being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, so that no righteousness, but by that which is by Jesus Christ. That is only, that is at all, you know, by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We are trying to identify in the Bible without not using any man's language. No scripture is of any private interpretation or anything like that, you know. So, but interpret itself, you know. So, go through the Bible. If the Bible says this, make it like the King of Righteousness, let's see of whom righteousness originated from, or who, or of whom is, who was talking about concerning righteousness in the Bible more than any other person, but the Lord Jesus. I just put a sample of them here. So, to us Christians, so, our the Lord has been made unto us wisdom, so, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. I saw the prophet, Isaiah 64, chapter, I don't have that one here. He said, our own righteousness is like filthy rags. That's in 64, Isaiah, I believe it. I don't have that scripture here. So, looking forward to the Messiah, you know, the kinsman, the demon will come, you know, the true King of righteousness will come. So, he told us that, you know, and we bless the name of the Lord for that. Anyway, in Romans 3:22, if this Melchizedek was the King of righteousness, then who is the King of, in the Bible, of whom is righteousness associated with more than any other being? Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You can't talk of righteousness without Jesus Christ. It is impossible to be a false righteousness whatsoever, you know. So, yes, by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I guess one or two more. In Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So, you see, because Christ is in you, it's why you are righteous. He is your righteousness, you know. He is the King of righteousness, one of the attributes of Melchizedek, right? So, another one, in 1 John 2:29, if ye know that he, meaning Jesus, is righteous, ye know that everyone that dress righteousness is born of him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we all know this scripture. When we are coming to the Lord and so on, the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read all those things to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of righteousness, you know, and one of the attributes of Melchizedek. Just to identify this Melchizedek, and who he is. So, I'm going to say all this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying about Melchizedek that he was the King of Silence, by which he is the King of Peace. Now, we know that Jerusalem was first called Salem. You can look at your history. First called Salem. Indeed, actually, in biblical Latin, the name was Jerusalem. That's H-I-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-N. When Jerusalem was in the hand of the Gentiles, in biblical Roman and in biblical Latin, it is called Jerusalem. That's what Jerusalem was called. So, the scripture says that King of Salem means King of Peace, right? So, of whom is peace associated in the scripture more than any other human being or any being? So, let's look at the Bible. One of the Messianic prophecies said that the Lord Jesus Christ will be the Prince of Peace. So, and that is in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, see? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this makes it the God called the King of Peace. We are letting the Bible interpret itself, you know, without to guess, do any guesswork, you know. So that's why I'm reading this scripture. I could have just said it in one sentence, but it's always nice. Going through the scripture, of the increase of his government, verse 7, and peace, he is the King of Peace, see, the Prince of Peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. I don't see any king, human king, who reigns forever. So order the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. As much as I know that end as well as you know. So we see, Bible says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see another attribute of Melchizedek is the king of peace. So we see the Messianic prophecy about Christ. So he is the king of peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. So we see another attribute of Melchizedek was that priest of the most high God, you know. And again, David, by the Holy Ghost, wrote by divine inspiration, prophesying about the coming Christ, the Messiah, in Psalm 110, verse 4. So, the Lord has sworn, and will not repent. Talking about Christ now. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. How plainer can the scripture make these things, you know? And even where many and where highly esteemed men of God have read it myself, they say maybe he said, how can that be with all the scripture we are reading this morning? And they were living an age with the worldwide internet and communication, all kind of doctrines going on. One has to reestablish the thing we know that we know that it is true, you know. Even to this generation, maybe we know them, but the new generation needs to really emphasize these things. Now, even that Old Testament prophecy was referenced in the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, so many times. And I will take liberty to read some of them. You know, the Bible says that he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, David said by the Holy Ghost, talking about the Messiah, you know, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the book of Hebrews, I want to read Hebrews 5:6. As he says, also in another place, referencing the Old Testament, the one I just read to you in Psalm 110. Thou art a priest forever. After talking about Christ here, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews 6:16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. We are in God willing. What a sweet scripture is this one. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath. Praise the Lord. Amen. Immutable. Whatever he has said, you know, concerning his children especially, you know, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. God can do all things, you know. God can do all things. God cannot lie, amen. Praise the Lord. That's one thing God cannot do. Praise God. He cannot lie. So, anyway, if you want to be cooler, but the Bible says he could not lie, anyway, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, Bible making plain the identity of Melchizedek right here. Yes, one more scripture on that in Hebrews 7:17. For it testifies, thou as a priest forever, talking about Christ here, so testify that thou as a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For those priests were made without an oath, meaning the Levites, you know, and so on, you know. But this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All this about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this Melchizedek was said to be the priest of the Most High God. So we know it's none other but Christ. Now, we notice that Melchizedek did not offer Abraham any money when he met him after coming for the victory over those kings. He only offered him bread and wine. That's significant, right? Well, he doesn't do anything for nothing. Why of all things give him bread and wine? It's so simple. We are going to say simple. In other words, he gave him the communion pointing to the establishment of the same by Christ 2,000 years later as an ordinance for his church. You know, could have given him money or anything like that, you know, but bread and wine, pointing to what he will do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can come in different forms. He can even appear as an angel, whatever, you know, but the personality is the same. The eternal God doesn't change, you know. So what he will do 2,000 years later to his church, bring it to Abraham right there. That's why in 1 Corinthians we read all the time. So the Lord, he says, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. What Melchizedek gave Abraham, a type of the elect, right? Took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do the remembrance of me. That bread signifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, amen. Praise the Lord. Melchizedek of all things gave him bread. Could I give him, silver and gold? No. So anyway, after the same manner, also he took the cup, talking about the wine, right? When he had sobbed, saying, this cup, this testament in my blood, this do ye as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So we see the idea, the Lord pointing to the communion, that the Lord will, how he will lay down his life for the church. He is the bread of life. And that is, eat my body or my flesh and drink my blood, is happiness and life in you. So he was portraying that ahead of time in the life of Abraham and so on, what we do for the church in the future. Another thing was this. Bible says this Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Why of all things he made the Son of God, right there, Son of God, abided a priest continually. Well, if he has no beginning of days and no ending of life, then Melchizedek must be alive today. Is that right? Praise the Lord. He has to be, because he has no beginning of day and ending of life, he has to be alive today. So I don't know of any human being. Praise the Lord. So I don't know of any human being. So did not, he generally accepted prophecy of the Lord Jesus and due to the same truth. In Micah, many people believe this, that Micah 5:2 refers to Christ, right? And what did he say in Micah 5:2? But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of children, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel. Watch this one. Whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. See? Melchizedek has no beginning of days nor the end of life. So you have to be alive today. I don't know of any human being, not Methuselah, So we know that Enoch was born, right? So even though he's alive today, I'm sure we are all there in heaven, in the presence of God. But he had a beginning. See? Anyway, so we see. So if Melchizedek had neither beginning of days nor any of life, so he's alive today, like I said before. And in Revelation 1:17. What the Bible says about the Lord himself, it says, I am the first and the last. And verse 16 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. See? Amen. And he said, and have the keys of hell and of death. Melchizedek was not only a king, as he read, and a priest, but also made in the likeness of the Son of God. So, Abraham, as we read there, the greatest man on the face of the earth at his time, paid tithe to Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of Salem, meaning king of peace. He was none other, from what I've just said from the Bible, he was none other but the pre-incarnated Lord Jesus Christ in his magnificent power. I could have just said that in the beginning of the thing and close the service. He was just the Lord Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnated body. Let the Bible interpret, what we are talking about. So, without contradiction of Scripture, but rather a complementary of Scripture, Melchizedek was none other than the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ in his magnificent power. Where he has other names is the Rose of Sharon, he is the Lily of the Valley, Song of Solomon 2:1. He is the Alpha and Omega, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. The Lord Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. The Lord Jesus is the root and the offspring of David, and the bright of the morning star, Revelation 22:16. Now, you see this Father Abraham, he tied many things, you know, as I know, you know, in many ways tied the believer, you know, of the Christian tradition in many, many areas of his life. His calling, like the Christian, I mean, he wasn't called because he did anything good. Actually, he was called out of the idol worshipping house anyway. So we know that. So he didn't do anything good, you know. God just, he was called by election. Praise the Lord. And so in the same way, the Christian, the true Christian, so the Bible said that, you know, so if, you know, in Genesis 6:19, the Bible said that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, right? And said, blessed be the Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. So it was a type of the elect of our dispensation of the church age. So because we in Ephesians 1:3, we had the same blessing, you know, from the Lord. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God, you see. The same thing we're talking to Abraham here. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So Melchizedek was blessing you know, Abraham. They say it's a type of elect, you know, it type of elect in so many ways. That's when we type of elect. It was told him that it was, you know, he said that he was of God. He said, blessed is Abraham of the Most High God. What is that in verse 19 of Genesis 6? In the New Testament, we are told that ye are of God, little children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Abraham of God. I say it's happened the elect of God in so many ways. We are told in the book of 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children. Blessed be the Abraham of God. You see? It's happened the elect right there, you know. So just wonderful. So like I said before, Abraham's call was by election, right? We are called also by election. We are called and elected. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, you know. So in many ways, Abraham was the type of the elect at the end of the age, you know. And even Christians today, the Bible says so, Abraham was not without mistakes. I have to bring that one out. He wasn't without mistakes. But constantly made them. Where, you know, I can give you many, many instances. You know, at one time, maybe he told a half-truth, a half-lie, you know. He told that king that his wife was his sister, you know. And in that question, right, you know. Okay. Now, at one time, as far as he got to the promised land that God told him, he had left everything to come to this promised land. And as far as he got there, that was funny, he ran away, went to Egypt. So he made many mistakes. God told him that out of the fruit of his body, we raise him up. And here, as far as that, you know, right there, the army they brought from Egypt, Hagar, you know, his wife was able to persuade him. To persuade him, though he has had the voice of God, to persuade him to take Hagar as a second wife, to raise her unto him. I'm telling you that it was not without mistakes, you know. And he made many of them, you know. And today, in that way, he tied a Christian too, you know. And we have had it, so, and we blew it many times. And you heard that language before. Blowing it means it's a glorified name for sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible calls it in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves. That's talking to Christians. That is not to unbelievers, you know. So Abraham type us here in that one too. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you know, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 2 John 2:1. My little children, this thing write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, do we say that let continue, and I mean, let's create a bank, and things should continue? God forbid, right? So, but we have what? So, in the end, Abraham ended up in the hall of faith, you know, hall of faith of God, amen. The letter of God, he gave us a repairable broken fellowship, amen. I call it repairable broken fellowship, amen. So that's what he did for us. So anyway, let's leave him alone the way he saved us, right there, in that one. So now, let's move forward again with Abraham. At another time, Abraham was sitting at his tent door, and the Lord appeared to him. See? In fact, it was talking about the Lord now. You see, before Abraham was, I am, right? I'm going to take him everywhere we can take Antonio, but Abraham, then, and other instances, you know. So, like I said, at one time, Abraham was sitting at the tent door, and the Lord appeared to him. That is in Genesis 18, verse 1. He even said it categorically. And the Lord appeared unto him, right there, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. I read a couple of verses from here. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord. There were three of them, but he said, My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Where we can begin to look between the lines, you know, why will he just say, I know that's revelation. I can imagine that, oh, you know, I see three of them. I think I've seen this one before, Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. I've seen this one before. He said, My Lord, you know, he said, My Lord, you know. I'm just going to read what Abraham was thinking. That's how I think I have seen this one before, Melchizedek, in Genesis 14, you know. Anyway, and, you know, so what happened in there? Let a little water, I pray you, be fresh, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your heart. After that, you shall pass on. For therefore, are ye come to your servant, and he said, So do as thou hast said. So Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. Earth means like oven of our day, you know. Anyway, and Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good. I gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and meat and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Don't forget in verse 1, say the Lord, right? I thought Abraham. That's right. So like I said before, he could recognize. He had seen before in Genesis 14, Melchizedek. I'm just thinking that way. That's why he said the Lord, by revelation too, you know. Anyway, so we can imagine now, Abraham saying this and some of that, you know. So now we see where Melchizedek met Abraham. What did he do? He fed Abraham the communion, like we saw before, and blessed him. And here Abraham, if I will say this, met Melchizedek here on the journey to Sodom, right? And he fed Melchizedek before to do that. Butter, milk, calf, and bread. See? So... And the Lord fed his disciples. You can see now in many ways. He said, before Abraham was I am. So anyway, and the Lord typed in many things in there. The Lord fed his disciples after he rose from the dead. We know that in John 21:12, rather. So, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples doth ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So Apostle Peter later will tell us in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 40, I'm saying that God ate meat, he ate butter, and we know he fed his disciples, right? He fed his disciples and all that, So now, we see that in Acts 10, verse 40, talking about the Lord Jesus, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You see? So the Lord appeared to him and so on, and he ate butter. God ate butter. He ate bread with them, with Abraham. So I'm showing you that it is the same war, the same eternal war. He can do whatever he wants to do. So before he became flesh for us, see, we see he ate with Abraham. We saw him right there. Verse 1 of Genesis 18 says so. Say the Lord attached to Abraham. So he ate butter, he ate bread, and when he rose from the dead, he also ate with the disciples. Like I said, like I read before in John 21 and also in Acts, verse 41. So, he ate with us after he rose from the dead. So, Bible says, let no man be confused by the verse where it says in verse 40 that and God raised him up the third day. Okay, don't be confused with that. He's still the same one, isn't he? He's still the same one, because we are told in John 2, what sign are you going to give to us? I want to give you any sign and so on. In John 2:19, I said, don't be confused. I said, God raised him from the dead. Yes, he's the same God. In John 2:19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He is God. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what? No, because God raised him up. Yes, he is the same God. The personal pronoun. I will raise it up. Anyway, Melchizedek, the Almighty God, fed Abraham with bread and wine, meaning communion. Just recapping now. God and two angels with him ate butter, milk, calf, and bread at Abraham's in the plain of Mamre. No wonder the scripture admonishes us in Hebrews 13:2. So there are two angels in their life. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So I believe the author of the book of Hebrews by the Holy Ghost was saying that. So the Lord himself and two angels in there, he ate, meaning the Lord, with his disciples during his earthly ministry, and instituted the communion with them. He fed his disciples with bread and fish after his resurrection, as I read before. And again, he's going to have supper with his bride in his kingdom. Amen?
I'm
sorry?
You
like bread? You praise the Lord? Because inside his body, right? Inside his body. So, again, what he did in the past and in the present, he's going to be in the future again. You're going to have supper with the bride at the end of time, You're going to have supper with his bride in his kingdom. He even told them at the breaking of bread in Matthew 26:26. He said, I will not drink this fruit of the vine again with you until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom, right? Even more now in Revelation chapter 19, so dine with us again. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Can you see God is consistent throughout the ages? No beginning and so in dealing with man is so consistent. Whatever he did before with Abraham, in Melchizedek, whatever he did with the disciples, we're going to do it again in the future, you know? I know. Anyway, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 9 says, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true things of God. Just showing the unchanging God and how he blesses his people, tapping many in Abraham and even to the end of time. And we know this, one more thing as I close here. We know that God is a spirit in John 4:24. The woman and the well. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Also, even though that is true, he has a body too, you know. And even back in the days of Moses, say he has a body too. Let's see that in the book of Moses, you know, and then in the book of in Exodus. That is very quickly. So, and verse 18, you know, Moses finds great in sight of the Lord, and he said in verse 18 of Exodus, and God is a spirit, he has a body too, you know. I beseech thee, Moses said to the Lord, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, the Lord said, and the body, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, he has hand, while I pass by. Anyway, but as he still said, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part. See that? You know, my face shall not be seen. So what I'm talking about here. So these appearances of God to Abraham and to Moses were in a theophany. He appeared to them in the theophany, meaning a supernatural body. That's what it means, you know. And in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. So I'll finish up here. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In 1 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In 1 Timothy, I'm sorry? 5:19 of 2 Corinthians. Yes, sorry about that, if I make a mistake. Now, then in 1 Timothy, to wrap it all up here, 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, see? Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up into glory. Now, let us see another account of the Lord, you know, in closing up here this morning. Daniel saw a vision of a supernatural being. Maybe it's open in 2. Let me read it in Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. And in the 24th year, he was fasting, you know, a partial fasting, if you want to call it, and so on. And in the 24th day of the first month, and I was by the side of a river which is called Hiddeket. Hiddeket means the river Tigris, you know. Then you have to face that. So Hiddeket means Tigris, you know, river Tigris. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, see, clothed in linen, whose loins were gathered with the fine gold of Ufa. His body also was like the berry, and his face as the appearance of lightning. Sometimes people tied the Lord Jesus after that when he was on the cross and so on. And, there's no beauty in him to be looked upon when he carried our sins. But now in the glorified form, anyway, even the pre-incarnation, as I will see that now, how do you look in the pre-incarnation? When he appears to you, like in the theophany, different, you know? Anyway, so let's see what it was. So his body was like the berry, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to a polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Now, people have been wondering, who is this personage? Some say it's an angel. Now, the experience of those who are with Daniel here, is it the same thing as what happened in Acts chapter 9? When that pillar of fire, the Lord Jesus, saw, why persecuted thou me? Who are thou, Lord? I am Jesus, who thou persecuted, right? And they fed them. People who are with you can hear the voice, they didn't say anything, right? The same event here was the case of Daniel. You know, they ran away. Yeah, that's right. When Daniel saw the vision, the people ran away. The same thing, the same pattern doesn't change. Praise the Lord. That is the point we're talking about before Abraham was a young. You know, so we went back to eternity. The eternity behind us. No beginning of the end, the end of time. The Almighty God. Anyway, so what this personage that Daniel saw? Something is an angel, but we don't think so. But again, a closer look into the other complementary scriptures. Always let scripture explain scripture, you know, then you won't make a mistake. So looking at other scripture reveals that he was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So how do we know that? That a vision that Brother John saw of him, you know, in the Isle of Patmos, the book of Revelation. If you compare the description here to what Daniel saw, they are the same thing, identical. So in Revelation 1:12, I bought the last picture, I want to read there, through verse 18. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Isn't what how Melchizedek was described in Genesis chapter 14? That the Son of Man, you know, isn't that how Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth person with the three Hebrew children in the fire? See? Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and God about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his ears were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Isn't that what Daniel saw, those eyes, a flame of fire? And his feet like unto a fine brass. Isn't that what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 10 that I read before? As if they burn in a fire, the same expression that Daniel saw. And his voice had the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went two sharp edges toward. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. See? And verse 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first, I am the last. And he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. See? That we say amen. Yeah? So we see that there, Daniel's vision. I mean, Daniel's vision, what happened there? That was the Lord in the pre-incarnate state that he saw. And what Brother John saw here was the same Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal one, in his glorified state, subsequent to the resurrection, you know, but the same one, the same Almighty God. So let me, the last picture here, I will say the last picture. In Isaiah 57, this morning, closing, see before Abraham, we went far before that, and after that, even, you know, so, Isaiah 57, verse 15, thus said the eye and the lofty one that inhabited eternity, it says, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the lofty and the holy place, with him also that is a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So this Almighty God, this eternal one, so is dwelling in you and I, as he said. Even at the beginning of the ministry, he said, he that believeth on him and so on, I and the Father will come, we take our abode in him. The same Lord Jesus Christ and so on. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do you need in this world? What confronts you that having this, the Almighty God in you, that you cannot resolve? The Bible says we should cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. When we know how great the Bible, even in Exodus, he said how great this man is, calling man, I think it was man there, you know. So the Almighty God is in you, it's in me. So what is your need? So we should come to him all the time, and cast all our cares upon him. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8 says that he careth for us. And through him, we can overcome all things. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. So, and with him in our life, nothing shall be impossible unto us. So let us rejoice in the Lord. And he has given unto us peace. My peace I give unto you. My peace I live with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just exalting Jesus, the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, we thank you, Father, to see how magnificent you are. Lord, how great thou art. There's no word to describe your greatness. Lord, there's no human language. There's no human word to describe your greatness, Lord. So, but we thank you, Father. And yes, you have it inside you, but you are dwelling in us. Great. This is the mystery of godliness. So we thank you this morning. That makes Satan to look like, it's like nothing. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Demons flee at our command in the name of Jesus Christ. All the Bible says, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. All power in heaven and in heart the Lord has given unto is the omnipotent one. Is the omniscient one. Is the omnipresent one. Only him has those attributes. I say, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, we worship you. Let us go day by day. He says, get out of Zion, shake yourself from the dust. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will say, as not to be to the king and priest unto God. Reign on hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not walking beggarly. No, we are kings and priests. God ordained us to be so, not ordained by man, but God himself. Lord, we thank you this morning. Going about, Lord, Bible says, doing the same work that you did, aspiring, growing up unto you in all things. You are the ultimate, Lord. I know, and you say, as you are, so are we in this world. So let the revelation into the heart of your children. And that mighty revival that will sweep away the pride from this world is even close by then. And the revelation that the Lord is showing people go through to his people. So we thank you today, Lord. We worship and we adore you, Lord. So we commit the week to your hand, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, again, the angel of your presence has gone before us, and you are in us and working in us. So give us favor, Lord, before all men. In the place of work, in the place of business, in the name of the Lord Jesus, there shall no evil befall us. We are assured in our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil. Don't be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Don't be afraid of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or of the destruction that waited at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand. It is written, it shall not even come nigh unto us, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because I would say that we are dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. We are told that in him we live and move and have our being. In Colossians, our life is hid in Christ with God. We are become like invisible to the devil and things like that, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we know our life. So we thank you for preservation, for safety, and the promise to always provide all our needs. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Father, O Lord God, count us worthy to escape the impending, not too far away, tribulation and so forth. We see the harbinger of it. They are putting control upon the world now, telling us what the Bible already told us will come to pass in a grandeur, in a more grand manner. You know. So that's what Lord. So we thank you. We see. And in all these things, titanic pressure has come upon the church of the living God, the true elect. The easily going world don't know nothing. But the true elect, you know what they are doing, they are satanic pressure. And then the Bible says there three times, you know, in your patience, protect your souls. The Bible says, be therefore patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husband himself, waited for the precious fruit of the earth, you know, and he has long patience until he receives the early and the better rain. So be therefore patient for the coming of the Lord, dread night. And we will not forget that great virtue you told us we should have in Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, because you try all and do for the faith of the earth. So Lord, we thank you for giving us the way of escape. Watch it therefore and pray always. I will say with the Holy Ghost and the Bible and the word of God, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your time.